Good evening and welcome everyone to the March 29th, 2022 special meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors. And with that, I would like to call the meeting to order and we can go on to item two, Pledge of Allegiance. And I would ask Director Ozahosky if he would kindly recite the pledge for us while the rest of us remain muted and or say it to yourself. Director Ozahosky.
It will be an honor, President Martin. For those on the Zooms, you may stay seated. Once we get back to in person, we'll go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. So place your right hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Director Ozahosky. And with that, we can move to item three, public comments. And these are public comment. Well, I was remiss. I jumped ahead of the announcements. And let me say before I go through the announcements that I hope this is the last time that we have to read these. But here we go, our list of announcements. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of AB 361. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak to avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise. Make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your camera during the meeting. Board members should use the raise hand feature in Zoom. When requesting to speak during action and discussion items, I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda during item three. Members of the public wishing to comment on item covered in this agenda may do so at the time the item is considered. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. Please do not turn on your cameras unless you are speaking during public comment and then turn them off when you have completed your comments. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called upon by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will remute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone number. We have one item on the agenda tonight, and we'll follow the following procedures for tonight's meeting. I will introduce the agenda item. General Counsel will give a brief presentation. The board will then have the opportunity to ask questions. Please keep this time to questions only, not discussion. Pardon me. Board discussion, comments, and additional questions will follow public comments. I will then ask for public comments. Once public comments are completed, I will ask for discussion, comments, and any additional questions from board members. And a reminder to please raise your hand in the Zoom feature. When all board discussion is concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call the roll call votes. The board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call, and each action item being considered will be taken by roll call vote. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for attendance?
Will all directors please unmute? As I call your name, please say present. Don't forget to remute after you say present. Director Klambeck.
Here.
Director Atkins.
Present.
Director Cooper. Director Cooper? I'll come back to Director Cooper. Director Kelly?
Present.
Director Bronstein?
Present.
Director Ford?
Present.
Director Ozahosky?
Present.
Director Colley?
Here.
Director Armitage?
Present.
One more time, let's try Director Cooper.
Present.
Thank you. Vice President Gladbach?
Present.
And President Martin?
I am present.
Thank you.
We can now move on to Item three, public comment. Please recall the comments I made regarding public comments. A member of the public may comment as to items within a subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on item covered in this agenda do so at the time that item is considered. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment under item three?
We do not.
Thank you very much. We can now move on to item four. There's no need to have a vote unless there are any requests for changes, additions, or modifications. Do we have any changes, additions, or modifications at this time? Seeing none and hearing none, the agenda is hereby approved. We move to item five, discussion and possible action regarding vacant Division III board seat. Our presenter tonight is Mr. Joe Byrne, our legal counsel. We also have Tom Bunn in attendance. They jointly prepared the staff report. Mr. Byrne, proceed, please.
Thank you. Thank you, President. President Cooper. thank you, President Martin. Okay, I'm going to give a quick presentation that basically summarizes the staff report. I think it is more or less self-explanatory, but as everybody knows, we had a resignation of Director Mortensen on March 15th. We're required to notify the county registrar of that within 15 days, of which we did. The board has two primary options to proceed at this point. One would be to, within 60 days, appoint a successor. If a person were appointed as a successor, they would fulfill the remainder of Director Mortensen's term, which expires at the end of this year. The other option, because Director Mortensen was an elected initial director consistent with the SCV Water Act, SB 634, there is the option to eliminate a seat if the director is an initial elected director, and that division will still have three seats and members that represent it. That both of those conditions, as indicated in the staff report, are satisfied here. So one option of the board would be to eliminate the seat. Currently, there are 12 positions on the board. It does require seven votes, a majority of the membership to take action. If we were to eliminate a seat tonight, we would go down to 11 members. I do want to remind folks that tonight, for purposes of action, we are still operating under an 11 vote requirement. And with that, that if we take no action, another option is to take no action. If we take no action, then the County Board of Supervisors would have the option an additional 30 days, so 90 days total from the resignation, to make an appointment. If the County Board of Supervisors does not make an appointment, then it automatically, the seat will remain vacant and go to the election. I will remind people that the Division III seats up for election in November are going from 2-1. So with that, I think I'd pass it back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Byrne. And as I said earlier, we will entertain just questions and whatever responses you get from Joe on your questions before we go to public comment. And I see Director Planbeck has her hand in the air. So go ahead, Director Planbeck.
So I just want to clarify that our only choices are to eliminate the seat or send it to the supervisors. We don't really have the option of making sure it goes to election. Is that correct?
You know, we can. I put down the two primary options. One is that we can call for an election.
We can. All right.
Yeah, I think the practical effect of that is similar to eliminating the seat because there's only one seat that is up in this election cycle. It would have the effect, if we did that, of maintaining that seven-person requirement for a majority vote, action to pass of the board. So I hadn't included that because it seemed like maybe it wasn't a practical, but it is one that is still potentially available as well.
Mm-hmm. So now I didn't understand what you said. If we eliminate the seat, it still is a seven-member vote?
If we eliminate the seat, we go down to 11 members.
Yeah.
Okay. If we call it an election, then that seat would still be an existing seat. It just wouldn't be filled.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Byrne. It was clear to me when I read the agenda packet, but after your explanation, I wasn't sure anymore. So Anyway, thank you for clarifying.
No, I'm happy. Hopefully that was helpful.
All right, Lynn, does that answer your question?
Yes, that answers my question. Thank you.
Very good. Director Atkins, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion, Mr. Byrne, that we actually have several options. One is we could call for an election if we choose to pay for it. One is we can do nothing. Another is we can choose to fill the seat with an appointee until such time as that term has concluded. Aren't those three options?
Yeah, so if we were to call an election, it would automatically be on the ballot in November, so there would be no additional cost. However, already the seats that are in for this division that are on that cycle that come in November go from 2 to 1. So you wouldn't be doing really anything other than keeping the seat vacant. You certainly, as I indicated before, you certainly could do nothing. If you did nothing, then it would go to the county, and the county would have an additional 30 days beyond what we have to decide whether to make an appointment or not. And if they took no action, then it would come back to us, and we'd be required to call an election, which again would just mean that there'd be a vacant seat, and then there would be one seat on the ballot in November 2022 for this division, which is already the case because the board is going down in numbers. And in fact, we have 12 positions right now. At the end of this next election, there will be 9.
So we could choose as a board to fill the seat, start the process of filling the seat, staff to fill the seat, or to identify potential candidates so we can choose who we want to fill that seat as a board. That is one option. I didn't hear that clearly.
Correct. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm misfiring here. So one option is to appoint somebody, of which we have 60 days from March 15th to do so. And that's what we've done in the past on occasion. Another option is to eliminate the seat pursuant to the act, which would take the board membership down from 12 to 11. Another option would be to do nothing. And that would allow the county then to make an appointment. And I guess the last option, which I hadn't really included because it didn't seem quite practical, would be to call an election, which would have the practical effect of leaving the seat vacant until the election in November 2022, of which there would only be one position because the number goes down from 2 to 1 pursuant to SB 634. Hopefully that's helpful.
That answers your question, Director Atkins?
I believe it does.
Okay.
I imagine it's premature for a motion, but I...
Nope, not yet, sir. Hold on to that one. Okay. Director Bronstein.
Thank you. I was wondering what happened when something like this happened in the past, or has something like this happened in the past?
Yeah, I'm happy. We have eliminated 3 seats in the past, as it's indicated in the staff report, when we had the option to do so. We've also appointed, as I recall, people in the past for positions that were open. I can't recall if we've had someone that we've appointed since the agency was created. I know that we had the appointment of the representative for District 36. Maybe April can recall whether we've had an appointment since the creation of the entity.
I don't believe we have. No, we've eliminated all the positions since when of the directors have stepped down.
Thank you, April.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Director Cooper, go ahead.
Yes, I hope you can hear me. I'm
I think you're frozen, Bill.
No. I don't know what to do.
Okay, so while you just became unfrozen a little bit.
Did I? Can you hear
there
me?
There you go. Yes, I think so.
The only thing I wanted to clarify is we only have 11 directors. Why would it take a 7-member vote to pass anything? There's only 11 votes total.
Yeah, we had previously provided this advice that the statute, SB 634, it says of the membership, and we had taken a conservative position that meant number of board seats. So we've done that and been following that for some time in the past. So it's really about the positions as opposed to the number of people who are sitting on the board.
Well, that just seems odd to me that the membership is 11 directors right now.
I think Bill's having trouble with his connection again. Did you have anything further to say, Joe, on his?
Yeah, I think I know what Director Cooper was kind of saying. We were faced with this issue a few years ago, and it is not necessarily 100% clear in the Act, but we did give that advice before and felt that it was appropriate to stick to that advice. And it was our conservative position that by membership, it meant the number of board seats. There's not cases that directly address this for our situation, but that's been our advice in the past.
Me? Yeah. Bill, we're having trouble hearing you.
Mr. President, if that continues to happen, you might suggest that he call in and have an audio-only connection on his telephone.
So, Beth, did you hear Mr. Bowen's suggestion? All right. In the meantime, let's go to Director Planbeck. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say I agree with Director Cooper's concerns. It does seem odd. I can't understand why membership would be considered number of seats rather than number of members on the board, and that's very odd. But I guess, well, anyway, but I also do want to clarify that the last three times this has happened, we have eliminated the seat for various reasons. I think the expense of having a director when they're going to have to go up for election anyway, and there were a lot of other ones that I think other directors might want to bring up, but it is expensive to continue to just add someone in for that short a time when there's learning curve and everything else. It doesn't seem appropriate, but that's my thoughts on it.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Planbeck. Director Ozahowski.
Yeah, I share the same concerns as Director Planbeck and Mr. Cooper. I mean, I'm looking at our board and committee meetings procedural manual. And Mr. Byrne, if you can open up to page 14, section A, subsection 1, quorum and voting. If we do have a quorum, it's based on the majority. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, and I will note that there is an inconsistency in our policies and procedures that's more specific than what Director Ozahowski is speaking to, which is having to do with vacancies. It talks about remaining members. And you know, we have advised in the past that our interpretation was membership was the total number of board seats. I'll let Tom can feel free to chime in. It's not 100% clear. So we have provided that advice in the past and been operating under that assumption and with that direction for some time. So I think that continues to be, you know, where we are, although we can certainly revisit that. And we were doing some revisiting of that today, in fact, when I noted the inconsistency in the policy from our interpretation of the Act. Again, the Act the policy is something that the board does as opposed to the Act, which is done by the legislature.
So I will jump in at Mr. Byrne's invitation. We did discuss it this afternoon. We acknowledged that there you don't necessarily have to go either way, but we did go back to our history, and this is what we've been recommending since the first time the issue came up after the agency was founded, and we felt that it would be unfair to the board to change the rules in midstream just as you have a momentous decision in front of you. So, and this is the conservative approach, and so we still feel most comfortable with it.
Okay, understood. But that means that our procedural manual might have to be, those things have to be aligned one way or the other. I know this is not the time and place to do it, but it's certainly of concern.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I agree.
Different me back to you, President.
Very good. Thank you, Director Ozahowski. April, was Director Cooper able to get back on?
I don't see him. I don't see him in the attendees list either. I see him on the list, but I Director Cooper, there he is.
I'm here. Can you hear me this time?
You sound good.
Yes, yes.
I've gone through three computers and finally got one that works.
All right, you're up. Do we have any other director discussion or questions? Or I don't see any hands raised. I see now Director Armitage. Go ahead, Director Armitage.
I'm confused. Are we doing just questions now and waiting for discussion until after public comment, or should I raise my discussion points now?
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun on discussion. So we're just doing questions at the moment. Then we will go through public comment.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I confused it. All right. Very good. I don't see any other questions to be asked. So, Madam Secretary, do we have any members of the public who would like to make comment on this item, item 5 tonight?
It does not appear so.
No public comment. We did have one written public comment from Mr. Petzl. It's rather lengthy, but I will go ahead and read it since it was the only written public comment that we got. It was addressed to President Martin. Dear President Martin and directors, I object to the agency holding virtual special meeting. There is no imminent risk to the public at this time. And by the way, he does get to the item 5 subject further down in his comment. Your attorney has adopted a narrow interpretation of AB 361 to discourage public attendance, participation, and insulate existing directors from the inconvenience of travel and sitting in each other's company. Numerous agencies in the SCV have been meeting in person for months, such as the City Council, school boards, and standing committees. Civic organizations are meeting in person. SCV Transit, Metrolink operate with masks. Pardon me. Schools and churches are open with masks optional. Governor Newsom and other public officials openly and notoriously conduct their lives as if there is no emergency. The subject matter of the meeting tonight cries out for in-person meeting. The resignation of Dan Mortensen has plunged the agency into a state of chaos and confusion. The general public has no idea about the serious implications this event has on water issues in the SCV. I request that you adjourn and cancel the meeting and place the agenda item on hold until we can reach an agreement to meet in person. Should you proceed with the meeting, I urge you to make an appointment to fill the seat of Dan Mortensen. This community would like to see an open and honest interview process in which applicants can express themselves on issues like water supply, quality, groundwater sustainability. Hold on. Future development and agency land use. The local press would have an opportunity to interview the applicants and spur interest in SCV water. This will be a fantastic opportunity for individuals of a protected class to appear and voice their views. It provides the current directors the chance to encourage diversity. In the upcoming November election, an appointee can say that they are an incumbent member on the ballot, which can help overcome the severe disadvantage that that designation confers on one candidate. You can help make the election competitive. The easy way out is to vacate the seat as part of your plan to reduce the number of directors. The cost savings is minimal and already budgeted. I urge the directors to initiate an appointment process, which is highly publicized in the interest of open and transparent government. Please do not slam the door in the public's face by eliminating the seat. The long-term consequence is much too great. There are many willing to serve the public interest. Best regards, Steve Petzl. And unless we have any further public commenters on the line, April, that concludes public comment.
Actually, we do. We do have one public comment. Hold on just a moment.
Very good.
Mr. Masnada, you may begin your public comment. Mr. Masnada? You may begin your public comment. President Martin, did you want me to give him more time? Mr. Masnada? You should be able to, you've been unmuted. You should be able to just begin your public comment.
All right. You're still having trouble, huh?
It seems like it. Yeah, I'm not. Let's try this again. Because he is actually dialing in, so he doesn't have to hit star six. He's already unmuted. He should just be able to. I'll try it again. Mr. Masnada? Let's try it one more time. Oh, there we go. Mr. Masnada? I can hear you. Yes, please begin your public comment.
I apologize. I couldn't find the mute button. I only have a question. It's not a comment. This is a very unique situation where the upcoming election, there would be two incumbents running for one position. And the question I have is, does Director Planbeck have a conflict in voting on this particular issue, or should she abstain? And again, this is a question more for legal counsel. I don't know if that's already been addressed or not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Masnada. Is there any further public comment? There is not. Back to you, President Martin.
So, Mr. Byrne, would you like to weigh in on my question?
Sure, I'm happy to. Yeah, I do not believe there's any problem with Director Planbeck voting on this item.
Very good. Thank you for that. All right, with that, we've concluded public comment, and we are ready for open discussion amongst the board members. I did see a hand raised before we went. I thought Director Colley had it. Director Colley, did you want to speak?
No, I was just going to note that we did have a public comment. I'm sure you're going to catch that one. Thanks.
Okay, very good. All right. Are there any other points to be made by the board? Any further discussion on this item? Director Ozahosky.
Yeah. There may be some costs of, choosing an appointment for replacement director. I kind of do believe that these small costs are worth it. What we've seen before with Dante Acosta or with any other issues that were very very public in nature, these things kind of bring a lot of exposure to our agency. The Signal, KHTS, SCTV will definitely have a chance to interview all these candidates, and they will definitely focus their news real estate on this appointment. And such focus will bring an opportunity to bring awareness of the many facility projects, conservation efforts, water banking and reservoir agreements that our agency is pursuing. It'll definitely get more people interested in water. And I think that's a huge benefit to the agency. In addition, although we've been blessed with rain this past week, California is not entirely out of our, drought conditions. And we may have some tough choices regarding our six-stage ordinances that we may have to vote on and enact. And I think having an additional director's input will be helpful in this process and more representative. So I'm definitely in favor of choosing an appointment for this seat. That's it for me for now.
Thank you, Director Hozahowski. Vice President Gladbach, you have something to say.
Yeah, thank you, President Martin. In the past, when we had a vacancy, we ended up eliminating the position. I always had mixed feelings on that. I leaned one way. I'm leaning the other way tonight. I think by making the appointment and the advertising this position as an open position to be appointed, that the press is going to make have a lot more opportunity to really share with the public a lot more about the agency. I think we're going to get members who are a lot more of interested and aware of the agency and very interested in running for the board. So I think we need to fill a position. And I move that we fill the position.
All right. We do have a motion. Well, before we go further, Director Kyle Cooper, you have your hand up. Director Cooper, you've disappeared again. Oh, you're there, but we can't hear you.
How about now?
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you.
I'm having all kinds of difficulties here tonight. I don't want to say function as three separate entities, but Newhall County area has had three good, strong directors since we formed the new agency. And I think it's important to make sure that we're still looking at that area in the right light. And we haven't completed all of the things that we need to do to combine all of the functions of the agencies in the merger. There's a point here where Director Atkins is going to be leaving us when he finishes his home out of town and gets to move. And that would leave us with just one director then from the Newhall area. So I would like to see us fill this. I think it's important to have a little continuity and somebody that's still looking at that area. Director Mortensen was very strong in his opinions about kind of protecting the Newhall County area customers. And I would like to see us make sure that we don't have some areas where we have three or four directors that are representing an area, and here we're down to an area that just has one. So I would be in favor of refilling it at this time. And we have 9 months left in the year. If we advertise it for a week and then have a committee or whatever put together some questions, bring applicants into the board, and the board can interview the applicants and make a selection, I think that would do very well. Thank you. And I hope you're able to hear all that.
Yes, we heard everything, Mr. Director Cooper.
Thanks.
Director Armitage, you had your hand up.
Thank you. First, I want to say I wish we would have a little more time for discussion before motions are put forth. Okay, so in terms of the discussion for today, with the exception of the seat appointed by the county supervisor to represent those who are served by LA County Water Works District 36, I believe this body is supposed to be made up of people who are chosen by voters so that they have a say in who's representing their interests. I know I, for one, am thankful that our community's water system or water resources are overseen by a body of people elected by their neighbors and fellow community members who choose them because they feel that they will best represent their values and priorities, and not someone and not selected by just a chosen few people. So I feel strongly that these seats should be held by those who are voted in by their fellow community members because they trust that person will work to ensure that their interests are being included in the discussions and considered before voting. The people of Santa Clarita Valley should be given the power to consider their options for their representative and pick who best represents their values and priorities and honor those choices through the democratic process of voting. So you know, we've already talked about the next elections in November. And as we've heard, one of the seats for Division 3 is going to be eliminated with that election. So I think that the elimination of the seat through the quote unquote natural attrition, as was noted in the memo, is appropriate to keep this board a decision-making body that is chosen by the ratepayers. And we can apply the cost savings to one of the many different important programs that the agency is implementing in the meantime. So I support the idea of eliminating the seat since it's going to happen shortly anyhow. It keeps the board a voter-selected decision-making group, and it affords the agency some cost savings. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Director Planbeck.
All right, I'm going to say something that's a little bit scrappy, just because Mr. Mesnada chose to make it a question of incumbency. You know, four of the people that have made these suggestions are on the Republican Congress in this valley. And of course, it would benefit the Republicans who have expressed a concern that folks of a different viewpoint might be taking over the board. It would benefit them to have an incumbent. I don't know why they necessarily they'd be an incumbent just for whatever few months they're going to be on there. But I wish that our my fellow board members would not make this a political issue. I agree with Director Armitage that it's a matter of the best interests of the public. I'm surprised that people aren't aware of the costs. I mean, it seems like when we argue over the small cost it would cost, it would take to have hybrid meetings, and that was quite a substantial discussion. It's actually fairly expensive to have a board person on for the next several months and have, you know, I think holding the several meetings it's going to take to appoint someone, you've got to go out for a process. I don't think a week is enough chance to get candidates unless you folks have already decided on someone. You know, if you've already decided on someone and they're the ones that are going to be submitting the their applications, that doesn't really seem fair or inclusive. And I just really am concerned about why you would keep this open. I think there's some issues that don't have to do with the best interests of the board. And I think it's the, when you look back over the history of it, that the last three seats were eliminated due to that process we have. And we have such a few short time left anyway. I'm not really sure how you're going to get a broad group of folks to apply in just a week. So I guess you already have who you have in mind, even. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Director Planbeck. Director Atkins, go ahead.
Surprisingly, I agree with most of what Mr. Petzold said, with the exception of throwing the agency into a state of chaos and confusion. I don't think we're there. I think that's a mischaracterization. I do agree that making this a public process, the search for a candidate shouldn't occur within 1 week. It can take a reasonable amount of time and be a rather voiced search for qualified individuals, and then we have an opportunity to evaluate those and make an educated decision. I too tend to agree that an appointment, filling this vacancy with an appointment, makes the best sense for the agency and its ratepayers as we go forward. And Mr. Ojhoski made some very good points about making this a transparent and vocal search would educate the public even more on and provide outreach that we wouldn't otherwise have. So I'm definitely in favor of appointing to fill this seat for now. I would second the motion.
Very good. Okay. Would you have a motion and a second? Director Cooper, you have some additional comments.
Yes. You know, I kind of take exception to Director Planbeck's comments. This is a nonpartisan position. This has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats. And just because some people on the board happen to be Republicans, It has nothing to do with who we'd be looking for to get on there, and you'll have the ability to vote for whoever you would believe in too. And to let you know that Mr. Masnada is a Democrat. He's not a Republican, and has always been a Democrat. So I don't know where your comments come from, but I'm looking for somebody that can look at issues that the Valley is facing, that the water users in the Valley are facing, learn and make good common sense decisions and do it openly. It has nothing to do with Republicans and Democrats.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Director Bronstein.
Good evening. I have to say, I'm a little surprised. I thought this was going to be a really fast board meeting. I'm like, we have all these guys here that are fiscally conservative. We've eliminated seats in the past. You know, like, this seems like a no-brainer to me. But apparently I'm wrong. And I am going to have to speak. So I love the idea of getting the press involved and all these outlets and media getting involved and asking questions. And I love it. I really, really do. And you know what? The perfect opportunity for that is the elections that are coming up in less than 9 months, right? We have an election coming up. We have a lot of opportunities there for them to interview candidates and to get the best person, because I don't think that it's our job to decide who should be on the board and who should not be on the board. That's their job. They're about to get to do it. And instead, we're kind of like, I mean, in this economy, we're asking our ratepayers to pay extra for all the extra board meetings and all the staff work and all the hard work that we're going to have to do to find somebody that, I mean, we deem is qualified. It really just doesn't sit well for me. And I understand Director Cooper, you know, being concerned about not having enough representation for Newhall if Director Atkins steps down. But from what I understand, that's nowhere in the works. So like, we don't even have to worry about that right now. And if he does, then, you know, we might have to appoint then. I have no idea, but that's in the future. That's not now. And right now, I think we need to do what's best for us for right now. And that seems to me to be mindful of the money that we spend. I actually reached out and asked why we didn't add extra stuff to this meeting, because if we're already asking people to pay for an additional meeting, we should put more things in it, because that way we can, you know, as is, our board meetings get to be very congested. And you know, let's use the resources that we have right now. And I think that there's enough people looking out for Newhall. I mean, you have three directors that are, you know, in that division already. I would love to hear a little bit more reasoning of why this is so important to appoint instead of doing what historically has happened. And like, I'm just very confused. I really can't figure out why this is something that's we're going to be appointing. Again, love to hear other directors. Like, just thank you.
Very good. Director Ozahosky, you have something more to say.
Yeah, just to add that it's the exposure to our agency that's very important to me. I know that operations, engineering, and finance departments will not be affected by the process of filling in the seat. Obviously, our board secretary, along with our administrative staff, will have some extra work. But the exposure, the ability for the public to take more interests in our processes is definitely worth it. You know, this will allow more people in Santa Clarita Valley to be interested in running for public office. And those applicants that you know we would be interviewing to fill in that role, the public will be able to partake. You know, they will be able to see how they answer those questions. And I mean, take a note of all the attendees at today's meeting. You know, I'm looking at it right now. It's according to Zoom, it's 26. That's a lot. And if we have a lot more people joining in those meetings, you know, we can express all of our concerns that otherwise, you know, people just, you know, either take for granted of what we do or not really interested because water is there. And again, I mean, I would like to point out that although we did have rain these past 2 days, you know, we're still not out of the drought. And we may have some stage six ordinances being passed down the line. So, you know, it would be nice to have an additional person on the board to represent that division. Back to you, President Barton.
Thank you, Director Ozahowski. Director Colley, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you. This is going to be an interesting process we go through tonight. I will say first off that as a true fiscal conservative, I'm in agreement with that argument, and that's probably the only argument I've heard tonight that really, to me, kind of carries the day. I would rather see the seat eliminated and to avoid the costs of filling it and the future director. And I believe that's what we've done in the past, and I would prefer to do that tonight. However, the idea that if we do nothing, that the county would have the ability to appoint the seat, I find very troubling. And someone mentioned the democratic nature. I think it's much closer to the way a democracy operates and when properly operates to have the representatives of the people of this valley choose an appointed director than it would be for the county to choose. And so I'm going to, in a moment here, I'm going to make a motion to eliminate the seat or a substitute motion. And in doing so, I'm trying to make sure that if we cannot do that, if that does not carry, that we then have the opportunity to vote on the primary motion, which would then preclude the county from appointing the seat. And so I'm going to make the substitute motion that the seat be eliminated. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Colley. I see two hands up, Director Planbeck and Director Bronstein. I think, Director Planbeck, you had your hand up first. Mr. Byrne, did you want to say something at this point?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate to determine whether there's a second or not on the substitute motion. And then we can certainly have discussion on that and then proceed accordingly.
Okay, I think Director
Armistead. I was not going to be the seconder, so I'll wait to speak until after.
Director Armitage, was that hand up to second the motion? All right, so Director Armitage is seconding the substitute motion. So I know I heard from Attorney Byrne that he has offered to consider changing the vote requirement to six votes if we consent to it as a board. Is that correct, Joe?
Yeah, well, Tom and I were talking and we talked earlier today. If there was a consensus, again, the fairness, we heard from a number of people, the fairness issue is still one that we feel it should be at seven unless everybody agreed otherwise. So that would, and then I think we could go to six. And we certainly can also use this as an opportunity in the future to revisit this issue at a later time as well. But for purposes of tonight, our thought would be seven, unless the entire board unanimously would agree that it is six, because it is really a bit of a judgment call.
It has to be unanimous consent.
Well, that would be our recommendation, because we have given the previous advice before, and we certainly want it to be very fair for tonight.
Okay, so where would that fit in our process? We do have the original motion in second, we have the substitute motion in second, and now we have this issue that we may well put before the board
Well, it's entirely, it's just a potential option because earlier in the meeting, I heard from a number of people who seemed like they wanted it to go in that direction. So Tom and I were sidebarring over if the entire body of the board were in agreement, then we could, I think, feel comfortable with a 6-person majority. But that would, again, in our mind, require that everybody be on board. Otherwise, we ought to assume what we have been, that it would be 7 votes.
And since it is a unanimous consent, President Martin, I think you can ask for it now or at any point, assuming that you yourself consent for it.
We have a substitute. Well, I don't know. I think it's odd that you change your advice at this point. But
so
we're definitely not changing the advice. We're acknowledging that it's a gray area of the law which we'd struggled with and we looked at today. And we want to revisit, but for purposes of tonight, we were standing by 7 unless everybody agreed.
All right. Would that subject the board to some challenge in the future if the board unanimously agrees to 6 and then they don't like the outcome? Could they eventually challenge that?
I mean, there's always that potential, but if every board member were to agree, I think that would reduce that potential. Certainly.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's the whole point, is that it would have to be unanimous.
Okay, I think I need to go through the hands that are raised before I know when we can do the vote on unanimous consent. So I will start with Director Plambeck. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say to the folks that are advocating using an review process to tout the board's the water agency's successes, which I think we do have some, and we've done some really great outreach and working on people understanding. But, you know, you can't do that. The Brown Act says that you have to stick to the agenda item. So unless you have interviews, plus you have a presentation for outreach or something on the agenda, that would really not be an option. So it's sort of an odd thing to suggest that doing interview process is going to help bring attention to the board. It might bring adverse attention to the board that people can't understand. I mean, we only had the one comment here, but I saw comments in the paper about why do we have so many board members anyway, and why aren't we eliminating board members? So I do continue to think it's odd that this process twice before or 3 times before resulted in eliminating board members, and that is not really what everyone is interested in doing in spite of the costs of adding a new board member at this point. So that's all that I wanted to say, is that there's a Brown Act issue of using the review process to tout the board's successes.
Very good. Thank you. Director Bernstein.
Well, as Director Orzechowski said, I want to say a few board meetings ago, Kathy Martin and her team are doing a phenomenal job at outreach. And I think that we're talking about election cycle is almost starting, right? And we have, let's say, we have about 4 months until people are really starting to run their campaigns. We're talking about maybe, unless we're just going to rush this whole thing by, which I doubt anybody here really is advocating for us to just rush somebody in just to have somebody. So we're talking about a process of like a month, maybe 2, to get the right person in here, because we don't want to just rush something like this. It's really important. So we're really talking about a difference of 2 months as far as exposure. And I think that once again, yeah, like let's get people involved. I'm all for getting people involved, but the election cycle is literally about to start. I think that, you know, there's enough op-eds and opportunities for interviews or whatever. I don't know. I'm sure Kathy Martin can think of some excellent ways to get the public engaged more. And, you know, just do it that way. I really, you know, I can't figure out why it was in our best interest. I mean, if we really are, like, if I'm not suggesting that is nobody, that someone isn't, but if we truly are concerned about the decisions that we're going to need to make in the future because of the drought, it's important that someone that is elected is part of that conversation and not just somebody that we appoint. To me, that's even a larger responsibility, because now I'm responsible for choosing the person that's going to make these decisions. It's just way too removed. I really, like, as I said, I was sure, I was like, ah, easy peasy. These guys, they're just gonna, they voted to not appoint in the past. We still have the three representatives from that division. Election's gonna be coming up. This seat is being eliminated anyway. Like, it's not like, and so it makes someone wonder, why are we doing this? I hear what Director Orzechowski says. It still doesn't add up.
That concludes your comment, yes. Director Bronstein. Thank you. So I know, Director Call, you had your hand up, but I'm going to call on Director Ford because he hasn't had a chance to weigh in. So go ahead, Director Ford.
Thank you, President Martin. Dan Mortensen was a unique voice and was a person who managed to get a substantial number of votes within Division 3. And this is kind of unique in that he is leaving under unique circumstances. And I think the people who voted for him deserve representation until the end of his term. That being an appointee, obviously, from Division 3. The other thing is that seat is not necessarily being eliminated, but there are two seats up for election in November, and only one of those seats will be here come January. So it's not as if that particular seat is being eliminated. So with that, it would be my preference that the board appoint somebody to represent the voters in Division 3. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Director Ford. Director Colley, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to go back to the original question and maybe save you some time on trying to get unanimous support for a six-person vote. I would love to have a hour-long discussion with the attorneys on how the federal courts or how the Supreme Court of the United States discussions on Chevron deference would apply to a decision by this board to change course in interpreting our act tonight. I think that would be interesting and maybe a little dangerous. Again, that's federal, but I think that the state law might the state courts might have a similar view as the Supreme Court on Chevron deference. Anyway, I don't think we ought to change the voting requirement tonight back to six. I think that seven is what we've done in the past. And so if we're looking for unanimous on that, it won't be with me. So you probably don't need to continue that discussion. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate that, Director Collar. We don't need to go through a vote that will not pass being unanimous. So I think we will dispense with that. So far now we have a substitute motion on the floor. Joe, did you want to say it since you're on the screen?
No, I was going where you were going, which is there's motion by Director Colley, seconded by Director Armitage, which is substitute motion to eliminate the seat. And remember, we went over our rules recently. It's a two-step process. The first process is to vote whether to amend the motion. If that vote passes, then that motion would then be on the floor for discussion.
Okay, so the first vote would be whether to amend or not.
Correct.
Not the actual amendment.
Correct.
All right, but let me, I've been holding my comment to the end, so let me just say that
I wanted to ask a question on about that process, if I could. Is that?
Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Joe, my motion was not a motion to amend. It was a substitute motion, and all the past times that a substitute motion has been made, the substitute motion has been handled under the Robert's Rules of Order as the as the first motion to be voted on, and then if that motion fails, the initial motion is voted on. You're saying something different than what I had thought we were doing.
I'll take this one if you like.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. We just, yeah, sure.
Sorry. Robert's Rules of Order rather clearly says that a substitute motion is a motion to amend, and you must vote on that ahead of actually voting on it. And the purpose is so that you get to debate the substitute motion. Once that substitute motion is substituted for the motion, there's an opportunity to debate it. But in this case, we're not changing the rules on the fly. That was part of what we did in January when we went over the rules of order and we treated the substitute motion issue at that point.
Yeah, and Director Colley, I did try to make a point during that previous presentation that we were adding something that you are correct in how we'd handled it in the past. And I've spoken with President Martin and April about that, that we had one vote, which was essentially on that motion, and it was a substantive vote as opposed to just the amendment. But when we went back through it and prepared that document that we shared in January, we had come up with, what was more consistent with Robert's rules.
All right. So you're maintaining your position, Attorney Byrne, that we need to vote whether to amend or not, correct?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we had previously approved back in January as appropriate process, right?
Okay, so the motions that were made by Director Colley and I think Director Armitage, they satisfy that
correct, yes.
Motion to amend? All right, so we have a motion to amend on the floor. Unless there's further discussion, Madam Secretary, will you call the roll on the motion to amend?
Do you want to take Director Bronstein?
Point of order. Can you go ahead and please explain what are we voting on again?
We're voting to
full resolution.
Yeah, we're voting on whether it's called a substitute motion or a motion to amend have the motion on the floor be to eliminate the seat. So if this motion were to prevail, then the motion on the floor would be to eliminate the seat. At this point, it's whether to amend it or not.
Okay, thank you.
Director Bronstein, did you want to say something more?
I wanted to hear your remarks.
Oh, got wrapped up in all this other discussion. Yes, I was waiting patiently through all the discussion. I've given this a lot of thought, and I've actually bounced back and forth between my position on this. And I fully agree that we've eliminated the seat three times in the past. Over the years since the water agency was created, we've lost a number of experienced water professionals. And I think this presents an opportunity to perhaps find another seasoned water professional to serve on our board. And I think that serves the interests of our agency and our board. And I therefore will probably support the appointment option as we go forward. So with that, we have a motion and a second on the motion to amend. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll? Director Armitage, you'd like to say something more one more time?
Yeah. I just want to be clear. I'm still confused on what we're voting on. So a yes vote means what? And a no vote means what on this round?
So the original motion was to proceed with the appointment process. There was a substitute / amendment to the motion to eliminate the seat rather than pursue the appointment option. So you are voting whether to amend the motion to change it to eliminate the seat.
So a yes vote means we're voting to eliminate the seat.
No.
It means you're voting to change the motion so that the motion will then eliminate the seat and then we'd take another motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe this process is educating us about how we're following a little too closely the Robert's rules.
All right.
We can reconsider later.
Thank you.
All right. So if everyone is clear now on what we're voting for, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Will all directors please unmute? Don't forget to mute after you say your vote. As I call your name, please cast your vote. Director Atkins.
No.
Director Cooper.
No.
Director Armitage?
Yes.
Director Ford?
No.
Director Planbeck?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
No.
Director Cawley?
Yes.
Director Osohofsky?
No.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach?
No.
President Martin?
No.
This item does not pass. The amended motion did not pass for us to move on to that amended motion. So it goes back to the first motion.
Right. So we are back to the original motion. Which was made by, I believe, between Director Cooper and Director Atkins. I'm not sure who made the first.
Director Gladbach and seconded by Director Atkins.
Oh, I'm sorry. Very good. Okay, Director. So we do have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Again, please unmute. As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Osohofsky?
Yes.
Director Armitage?
No.
Director Planbeck?
No.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Atkins?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
No.
Director Cawley?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
This item does pass, and the board has voted to appoint a successor to fill the vacant Division 3 seat.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your thoughtful discussion. And thank the public who did weigh in on this. And we are now moved to item 6, which is adjournment. No vote is necessary. So we are hereby adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night.